This is the July 23rd meeting of the National Finance Committee of Pacifica. Having reached quorum, we are going to proceed with the roll. Mr.
Okay.
Secretary.
Okay, please answer up when you hear a name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sagerton. Nancy Sorden. Tamara Swiderski.
Tamara won't be here tonight.
Okay. All right, that is seven.
All right. So I will read out the agenda. If there's any modifications and changes, you all can let me know. Convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Approve agenda, 5 minutes. For 7:23:19, minutes approval, 5 minutes. For 7:09:19. Item 5A, discussion of interest payment schedule and approximate amounts, 15 minutes. Item 5B, discussion of possible strategies for allocation of payments among divisions, 25 minutes. Item 5C, next steps, inviting managers to next meeting, et cetera, 10 minutes. Item 6, 2020 budget timelines, update from division, setting budget priorities at LSB per guidelines, 5 minutes for each station. And item 7 is a quick update on financials by me, and then new business and adjournment time of no later than 10 p.m.
Are Paul for stack here?
Okay, R. Paul.
Okay, several things. One, on number 3, approve agenda. Can we just leave it at that? I mean, we can't set the agenda time before we set the agenda, so it really makes no sense to say 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so we can cut that. Minutes approval, can we just leave it at minutes approval, 5 minutes? That way, because we already know what we have to do.
Okay.
If that's okay. Then could I suggest that 5 be just the loan? And, you know, that would just be the loan. And then there will be the A, B, and C will be those things without having to put the 5 in front of it and all of that. Does that sound okay to people?
It's fine by me.
Makes it much more readable in minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and finally, new business is just new business. As time allows, you know, that's how it always is.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That makes it much easier to do the minute.
Understood.
Mansoor is here.
Hey, Mansoor.
Hello.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, sorry for the delay.
No problem. All right. So I'm fine with those minor revisions to the agenda. Anyone else? Mansoor, did you get the copy of the agenda, or do you need me to read it out for you again?
Yeah. Okay. Just read it out for the listeners.
We did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. So I would like to move that we approve the agenda as read and revised. Are there any objections to the minutes as read? Hearing none.
You mean agenda?
Did I say minutes? My apologies. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit drowsy. I'll get over it in a minute here, though. Yes, the agenda is read. Thank you, Bill. Hearing no objections, our first item up is minutes approval. I'm assuming that everybody got their copy of the minutes.
Affirmative.
Go ahead.
I move to adopt the Minutes of the July 9th meeting.
All right. Are there any objections to the minutes as posted?
Yes, I'd like to abstain because I haven't had a chance to read them. That's Fred.
Okay. Okay, Fred. Do we need to do we need to take a vote on this with that abstention? No, we don't. Are there any objections?
First of all, if it's passed without objection, an abstention isn't an objection. But if somebody really wants their name to say abstention, which we don't even name the person in a minute, we do have to take a vote. So one way or the other.
I'm not about being named.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm not adamant about being named. I don't care.
Okay. All right. Are there any objections to the minutes as presented? All right. Hearing none, our first and major and only real large item for discussion is the loan repayment and specifically the interest repayments. As I'm sure you guys are all aware, and if you're not, I'll inform you now, there was a large bequest given to Pacifica. About a third of it was allocated to interest payments. So I ran down the loan. I created a little spreadsheet. I'd be happy to supply you guys with a copy of it, by the way. I used estimated amounts, but I think they're going to be pretty close. I used the assumption of a fixed rate over the course of the loan, which of course won't happen. Interest rates will be floating. The direction seems to be, at least for the moment, lower, although there hasn't been a decrease yet. I also assumed that we won't accrue any interest in the escrow account on the bequest, which is hopefully going to be deposited in that escrow account. Although we will get some minor amount of funds from that. What else did I, I also assumed that for the moment that there would be no payments that would be forthcoming during the intervening period, until, you know, we get a schedule and people start collecting them. That would go into that escrow account. But having done that, what it shows is that our first payment of approximately $30,000 will be due next June. So we have a bit of time before, the proverbial feces hit the fan and we have to actually make good on that loan. I would posit that we should pretend as if the bequest doesn't even exist. And start acting and behaving as if, we were just making regular interest payments and see, that'll actually help us get a good handle on by the time that date actually rolls around, how it's going to all flesh out and, whether we'll be able to continue making payments through the end of the period. The quarterly payment amount would be $68,000 as of now and some change. About 68.5 is what I came up with. And that's the payment schedule is quarterly. So it'd be June 30th, September 30th, December 31st, and March 31st of 2021 would be the four payments that would be necessary that are not coming out of the escrow account as it's already – actually, I'm not sure that it's technically already funded. I haven't spoken to the NFC PMB chair about when those funds are actually going to hit that account. But I'm presuming before the first payment is due. So the escrow account would fund the first, second, and third payments as it stands right now. Like I say, I think it would be advisable to start figuring out how to allocate and collect the $68,000 per quarter from the divisions. That's the payment schedule and the approximate amounts. Do you, does anybody have any questions as to how I arrived at those figures or what logic I used to come to them?
R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, Nick Arena.
Okay, Nick, you're on the staff.
Yes, the interim CFO told us it was going to be about 75 per quarter.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. The interest rate that I'm showing right now is 8.5% per annum, and that works out to, on a compounded basis, somewhere around 2.14 or 2.15 per quarter. And I think if you multiply that by the outstanding balance, which I don't have an accurate number for that, so I may be off on this, but I thought it was around 3.2 at this point. If it's far more than that, then it could be as high as 75, but that does seem excessive to me.
3.26 million.
Okay. I'll insert that number and give you an update right now.
3.26. So just barely
okay.
Over what you said.
Okay. It's almost exactly 70 then. It's a little less than 70,000 per quarter, which is incidentally the number that Tamara gave. So that definitely agrees. It felt a little low to me, but I couldn't figure out where I'd gone wrong. So, any more questions? Sorry. Nick, go ahead.
Sure. So, Chris, I just have a few questions. First is, what is the basis for the interest rate? Is it based off prime floating? Is it based off LIBOR floating? How did the interest rate of 8.5% is computed? The second question I have is, although you've done a calculation on it, it's been hard for us to understand all the terms of the loan without actually seeing a loan agreement, a note, or any of those types of things that would help us understand what Pacifica actually agreed to, so we can understand what are the conditions of default, and et cetera. And then the third question I have is, on the last National Finance Committee meeting, as you indicated tonight, there was a bequest that was provided both to Pacifica and to WBAI, and I'm wondering how the allocation of that bequest is being used, and will that be disclosed to us as a Finance Committee, because the interest that's being charged seems a lot less than what the bequests were as they were indicated on the last call. So just trying to understand as it pertains to both the interest payment but also the loan agreement, you know, are we required to provide all the funds from the bequest towards the interest payments or the principal payments, or is Pacifica have some flexibility about how it applies the funds from the bequest for both operations and for the loan payment?
This is James. Okay. I want to ask a question that's related to that, if I could.
Go ahead, James. You go ahead and add it, and I'll answer them all at once.
There was a question. Someone raised a question about, is it appropriate for management to just decide, I guess, and along with the interim executive director, to just decide how to allocate this money, or was there supposed to be any kind of a budgetary process involved in how it's allocated? I don't personally have a problem with how it's being done, but I'm just curious if that's a defensible and a proper way to do it.
Okay, I'll answer Nick's questions first. I was the one who chimed in after that and asked that question of Grace, and she responded to it. And I'll relay that response. Question number one: the loan is it's an adjustable rate loan. It's prime plus 3, and I think the last time I checked it, I think prime is 5.5 right now, so it's at 8.5. And so, you know, the interest rate environment is, at least for the foreseeable future, it's heading either flat or lower. So I've made a conservative assumption that it would stay at 8.5 all the way through the loan. It may go up, and I, you know, even though that's a conservative assumption, it you know, the interest may end up being more. But for the moment, I think it's probably a solid enough assumption. I'll make adjustments as I go along to the spreadsheet. As far as the loan docs are concerned, there was a constraint associated with the loan docs. I'm not even sure that it would apply to this committee. Moreover, the constraint is apparently, you know, information that's actually already out there and available. And so there was a redaction that needed, that everybody thought needed to be made. And somebody pointed out that the information was already given over at one point. And so I'm not sure why at this point everybody can't see the loan document. I keep forgetting to ask that question and to see if we can actually get that thing released, because I always have thought it was kind of silly to at least not have a redacted version of that document that shows all the facts and figures of it. It's not an especially onerous document, although I think it may frighten a certain number of people, in that the default provisions were pretty difficult. Well, they were impossible really for Pacifica to meet. So we were pretty much immediately in default with that loan. One of the things that I asked of the lender at the time, and this was relayed, and they apparently gave us a verbal approval, if not an actual written one, was that we get a 60-day waiver for those provisions, because, you know, it seems silly to enter into a loan agreement that we were going to be immediately in default for. But a lot of it has to do with reporting and accounting and stuff that we weren't up to date on. And we've gotten a lot better at all that stuff. I don't think we're even close to being in compliance with those provisions yet, but we are a lot closer than we were at the beginning of the loan. And the word was from the lender that they, you know, that they just basically wanted to see progress on this stuff. I think we can safely say that we have made progress on a lot of it. They don't seem like the type of lender that would just come in and yank the loan. I know that sounds crazy, probably, to those of you who have borrowed money.
I'm on notice. Thanks.
And so, but I at this juncture, they've been pretty friendly, and there hasn't been a lot of heat coming down from the lender. So that all of those assumptions may have been correct. I would love to, I will pass that question along one more time. I can't think of any reason why that document couldn't be released to committee at this point. And I'll see if I can get that done in the intervening period before the next meeting. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to say the waiver was 6 months, not 60 days.
Oh, it was 6 months. Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate it. Thank you. I couldn't remember. I thought it was 60 days. Okay. Yes, BAI did receive $200,000 in a bequest from the same beneficiary. And from what I understand, about half of, well, I don't know what the fraction is actually. The verbiage I got was that a significant portion of that would go to Central Services, because they're in, they're way in arrears for that station is. And so I don't know what that significant portion is. I kind of mentally figured it would be around a half of it. As far as how it breaks down on our side, about a third of it went to, interest, into the escrow account. I forgot to mention that 100,000 of it is, targeted for the loan itself, for the principal. So I need to reduce that 3.26 to 3.16. I'll do that right now. So that lowers the quarterly payment to 67.5. Let's see. There was something about disclosures in there too. Oh yeah, I guess that was the disclosure. Can you remind me, Nick? Did I miss something as far as disclosures were concerned?
Just under the rules of the loan agreement, I'm curious about what the application of any funds that are received based on there being money coming from an estate or a bequest, how that applies, and if there are the loan agreement, if it says, well, if you get money, you have to apply it to the loan principal and interest, or it could be used in operations, and how that, you know, if it's not stipulated in the loan agreement, then how is it decided how the funds from the bequest will be allocated?
Okay. So
this is great. Grace for the sec. I just want to let you know that I'm on the call.
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
So, Grace is actually the perfect person to answer that question. Grace, the question was asked as to what the decision making process was for the bequest and how the funds were allocated. And I was just about to get into it, but you're actually a better person to address that question, if you don't mind, than I am. Are you prepared to do that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I went over the bequest, the amount of money with our interim CFO, and we looked at everything. There was a list sent. I think it was probably sent to the NFC of outstanding payables. And so we looked through those, and some of them had to be paid. So that's a significant portion of that $585,500 bequest. And then the rest was earmarked for paying down the interest or putting $200,000 in a reserve fund, reserve for the interest payments on the loan, which we pay quarterly, and $100,000 to pay down the principal. The expenses that are being paid besides the loan are, we owed NETA about $50,000, and we owe $53,000, I believe, to Garvey Schubert Bearer, and they are the law firm that is helping us to retrieve our CPB status. We had to pay about $11,000 into the pension plan, so that's absolutely necessary. We have to pay the auditors because otherwise we won't get our CPB funding back without ensuring that the auditors are paid. In fact, there are outstanding expenses that need to be paid. There are some other expenses that, in our view, not paying them would probably negatively impact our credit rating, which wouldn't help us. So we paid pressing bills with a significant amount of the money, and the rest was put toward the loan. $300,000 total toward the loan. Oh, election expenses were also paid.
Okay. So the other question that arose is, I know that the PMB was not really part of the decision-making process on this, and the question that was raised was A, if that was appropriate, and B, just what was it just you and the IED that worked this through, or did you work with anybody else?
I am the IED at the moment.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant the interim
ICFO.
CFO.
Yeah. Just me and the ICFO, and to some extent, No, that's about it. I mean, you know, some of the money hasn't been expended, so if you have input, but I think that the what we did was pretty rational. I don't know how you would change it, but
no, and I'm not sure that I actually have any objections to it, Grace.
Linton for the staff.
I was just trying to ascertain what the process was, and I think everybody else.
James for the stack.
Mr. Chair, I call for the orders of the day.
Well, we're done with the interest payment and schedule of the approximate amounts. That item is, you know, we have 2 minutes left on that. So who was the first person on the stack there?
Linden.
I'm sorry. Linden, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, I just want to say I looked at those numbers, Grace. I think y'all did a great job. It looked very, very rational to me. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lyndon.
Thank you.
There was somebody else on the staff, too?
James.
James, go ahead.
That was me, James. I just wanted to say to Grace, in case she wasn't here when I raised the question, I had said that another person had raised that question, and I had no problem with the way the money was being allocated, but I just wondered if the process was defensible in case that other person was going to make it into an issue.
And Bill for Stack.
Okay, Bill, you got a minute?
I had also given my suggestions to Grace, and what they came up with is compatible with what I suggested, and Sabrina might have also. So I think all the officers at least had some input into it. But I think it's fine the way they were allocated.
Okay.
Arpal,
go ahead. You still have a brief
Yes. Grace, or somebody, I think Grace said every stuff was sent to us. I don't know that we got whatever we were supposed to get sent about this. I'm looking at my email, and I don't, there was a list. It said it looked at everything, and a list was sent to the NFC and others about outstanding payables. I don't recall getting that. When was it sent?
That was from Tamara Swiderski. I'm not sure it was sent to the NFC.
This is Lyndon for the staff.
Okay, Lyndon, we're actually out of time for this item.
Well, I just want to say that there was an email sent. It was a financial update or something, and it listed what WPAI owed in central services, and it listed what we owed to all the different accounting firms, law firms, and such. It was sent out.
Yeah, I do have a copy of that email. So if anybody
needs that thing.
Something
else. Never mind. Pardon me.
Okay. All right, so the next item up was a discussion of possible strategies for allocation of payments among divisions. I have some thoughts on it, but I'd be interested in entertaining other people's thoughts first. So I'll take staff for this one. We got 25 minutes. Anybody have some ideas for that?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, it should be realistic. That's the first thing we got to think of. It should be realistic and, you know, relate to who can possibly do it. Some stations are in better shape than others, and, you know, it will do us no good to set things up in a certain way, knowing ahead of time that the structure we set up cannot be complied with. So we should base it on as much reality as we can figure out. That's all.
Okay. Anyone else?
Grace for the stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
I mentioned to the in the National Finance Committee last night, I suggested that we do it a certain way, and that is that we earmark the $200,000, which is earmarked for paying the interest for the rest of this loan term. We spread out those payments over the entire term of the loan, which would be, I think, a little less than half of the entire. I haven't done the arithmetic, but a little less than half of the payments. So that would probably bring, I believe our payments are around $23,000 a month, the interest payments. And a little more than half would be $13,000 or so. $13,000 divided by 5 is $2,500 per station per month. I think that that's a reasonable amount. I don't think it's overwhelming, even for WBAI or WPFW. I think it's a target that's reachable. So that's what I would suggest. And then kind of monitor it and keep track of it.
Okay.
And I don't know. There's one other thing. I don't know if this the NFC wishes to prioritize loan service over and above central service payments. That's a decision the NFC has to make. But, and I'm just throwing this out. I'm not totally strongly in favor of this. It's just a way to go about doing it.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, at the top of this discussion,
Bill.
Bill?
I think we should, and we talked about this some, as Grace was talking about at the Strategic Planning Committee last night, but I think any windfall amounts like other additional bequests from any stations, I think we should allocate towards the principal of either the big loan or all debt, you know, with the, you know, CFO and ED being able to decide what's, how to allocate in a particular time, because sometimes some other debts are also critical. And then what Grace was talking about is kind of compatible with what I believe you were talking about earlier, Chris, that, you know, we should act like we should try to raise around $70,000 a quarter and put it towards the pot for interest and principal, whether we actually need that much in just interest or not, because the rest of it should go towards principal. So I think a target should be to try to raise around $70,000 a quarter, even realizing we've already put aside approximately half of that by using $200,000 from this bequest. And then whatever we have extra can go towards paying down the principal, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. Grace, the $200,000 set aside, is that gone into that the same escrow account that we had the interest set up in for the loan prior to this point?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what rate that I know it isn't much. Is it a tenth of a percent, or is it 1%, or is it any percent that there? I know it's interest bearing, but I can't remember what the rate is on that account. Do you happen to know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. I know it's small. As far as allocation
Bill,
is concerned, go ahead.
I forgot one more quick thing.
Go ahead, Bill.
And Gracie pointed this out yesterday that, you know, legally we have to make payroll a first priority. So if we don't have funds for payroll, we have to do that. But hopefully that's something all the stations will be able to do, although I know that's WBI hasn't been able to do that some lately.
Yeah,
this is Nick for the stack.
Okay, Nick, I'll let you speak in just a second. There was one item that Grace missed actually in that list, and that's that there's a $50,000 set aside for an emergency slush fund for Pacifica for any emergent needs such as the one you just mentioned, Bill. Was that you, Nick, that was on the stack?
Yes, it was.
Go ahead.
I'd like to speak to a couple things first. I think that dividing the loan payment by 5 is essentially unfair. Some stations have far more reserves and operating budget than PFW and BAI do, and so if we're made to bear a fifth of this, to me, it should be allocated more based on the stations, what their budgets are versus splitting it. Secondly, given the fact that we're paying a variable rate of 8.5%, I don't know if we're pursuing trying to fix the rate. 5-year money is 180 basis points right now, and prime is 5.5. I would think that Perhaps the lender itself doesn't have the capacity to provide us a fixed rate, but maybe somebody else would, because we could save a significant amount of interest expense over the period of the loan if we could fix the rate now, as long-term rates are really dropping and have dropped significantly over the last 8 months.
Grace for the stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
I think that renegotiating or refinancing this loan for a longer term at a lower interest rate should be done when we have our audits done and some effort has been made to improve our credit rating, which we're doing now. But and that we will probably improve our credit rating, and it will look much better to a lender once our audits are done, the 2018 audit, and once we retrieve our CPB funding also, or status at least. But at least we need to wait for the 2018 audit, which should be done hopefully by the end of August, and that will then we can have some solid basis of showing a lender that we're straightening our financial status out, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise, we're not able to get a conventional loan. We're in the subprime lending category.
Market. Yeah.
Market.
I agree.
And those interest rates are very high.
Yeah.
So
we discussed this a little bit last time, and I agree with Grace. I think at least for the time being, we're looking the last time we looked, and I realized that it's a slightly more favorable environment overall right now. I'm just not sure that it's any more favorable for Pacifica, but the loans were significantly more expensive than the one we got. So it may be possible to negotiate for a rate that's similar to what we have now, but I'm not sure that we could beat it, honestly. And there's no sense abandoning this lender at this juncture. It might be our life raft out of this dilemma if we need one. I'll agree with Grace on this one for sure. As far as the allocation per station goes, I can't remember who mentioned the unfairness of splitting it five ways, but I agree with that. Some stations are rather resource poor, and I think I agree with you, Grace, that it's not asking much for them to fork over 2,500, but it's probably asking a lot for them to fork over 5,000, especially when they're having trouble meeting central service obligations and, in some cases, payroll. I got an outline of the central services calculation and how that's done. It's basically done off of listener support, although there are some sort of arcane things in here that I don't understand, so I won't bother mentioning them right now. But the distribution basically runs with KPFA and KPFK picking up over half the central services fees, and the other three stations kind of splitting the remainder. It seems like that allocation would probably work for the interest payments as well. I'm sure that Maria, if she's listening right now, and you folks from KPFK are cringing at me saying that, but it just seems like it's a more realistic way of approaching this, as Paul mentioned earlier, than simply just having everybody pay the same. I think what will end up happening if we try to make everybody pay the same is that that certain stations will just simply not be able to pay, and we'll be in the same boat that we're in with central services, namely that certain stations won't pay, and that somebody else will be left holding the bag. If we do what Bill suggested and what I'm suggesting and shoot and aim high on this, it won't matter. The interest payments will get made anyway, because we'll be paying more than the minimum required to get us through the term of the loan. And if we have a little left over, that would be lovely. We could pay down a portion of the principal and have less to deal with at the end. And, of course, there's the possibility that another bequest will come in at some juncture and put us right in a better way still than we are now. So
James for the stack.
I'm in favor of all of that. Go ahead, James.
Sharon.
Yeah, I was just going to say I had heard that there were some other bequests in the pipeline, particularly possibly for WBAI, and I wondered if it might sweeten the situation a little bit for the stations that are carrying the load if WBAI made some kind of a commitment that, if possible, if we don't have anything that, you know, if we're making our payroll and we're able to, you know, make our pension payment, well, we don't have, I don't think we don't have pension payments, but, you know, if we don't have things that are immediately due and, you know, catastrophe would follow if we don't follow through with it, that we could use any future bequest to, you know, pay more of our share. I don't know how you would calculate, give that an exact number or make a formula for that, but...
Yeah, that
sort
would
of
be amazing.
A goodwill commitment.
that would be amazing. That would be great. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So I did hear Bill Crozier say a bit ago that, you know, he suggested that we still would be trying to have $75,000 per quarter to be set aside, you know, even given everything that had with the just he said that. Okay. So, but then I hear somebody saying, well, we can't even pay $2,500 per month. So then I wonder, how is it even remotely possible, to set aside an additional $75,000 per quarter? I mean, it all sounds very good to say that, but it's not realistic. And, yes, stations are unable to pay their central services. They're unable to fund their payroll. They're unable to pay their health care. And apparently, I guess, Pacifica is surviving by bequest. So, I mean, you know, it's great that we have this bequest, and it's possible that, you know, if we really only have to come up with $13,000 per month throughout Pacifica, we can, you know, survive the next 18 months to pay off the interest. Okay. But still, there's no actual plan to address the fact that the expenses are greater than the revenue. And I wish we would start talking about cutting expenses at places where they are not meeting their commitments to the network. I think we need to start focusing on something other than hoping that a bequest is going to come in and that's going to solve the problem. And I think it's fair to say that stations that have been failing and driving the network down, we maybe need to consider the expense that those stations are costing the network.
Grace for the shack.
I was assuming that you'd want to speak to this. Grace, go ahead. I got you, Arpa.
You can put me at the end of the stack if you want, if you feel like.
No, it's okay. No, I think this would be a good time for you to chime in.
Okay, my response to that is this. Both, there was a few years ago, there was a forced reduction in staff at WBAI and WPFW to the point where those stations were really crippled, in my estimation. For instance, at WBAI, the staff was reduced from something like the mid-20s full-time employees down to 5 or 6. And the year after that, the total revenue declined by almost half. That station lost $1 million a year in revenue.
I'm sorry. I really need to interrupt because I understand history. I'm talking about the present, and I'm not saying anything about getting rid of any station. I'm actually trying to say, is there something we can do with the facts that exist on the ground now, and how can we go forward?
Can I please?
Yes, you may, but
I mean,
we know the history. We know this history.
I'm not talking about the history so much as I'm talking about the current situation. WBAI and WPFW are understaffed, and they have high overhead. And if you can figure out how they can have free rent in Washington, D.C. and at WBAI, and how they can have free tower rent as well, the overhead at WPFW is $15,000 a month rent for their studios, plus $5,000 a month for their tower. At WBAI, the expenses are $6,500 a month for their studio rental and $17,000 a month for their tower rental. That's a huge overhead for those two stations. Both stations, in my estimation, are understaffed. So where do you cut? Sharon, why don't you look at
that? I have some suggestions. I mean, that's why I brought this subject up. I believe this is something that's never discussed, and I do have suggestions.
Okay, well, they should be put forward. What are your suggestions, given the facts of the matter?
I would say
anyway,
that...
Anyway, I'm violating the stack. I said what I
Well, you asked
to say.
Me a direct question, so if I will answer, and then we'll just go back.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yes,
Paul, I still
I'm not trying to say anything about any getting rid of stations or anything like that. I'm saying, you just said $65,000 is studio rental. Well, that's a huge expense.
$6,500 a month.
Okay, $6,500. And if the point I was trying to say is you could have a repeater station for a period of time until the network gets stabilized. You can cut expenses at places where things are not doing well, and you can play programs that have done well. For example, Letters in Politics, the Jimmy Dore Show out of KPFK, that play well and perhaps would actually gain audience in these areas and then increase revenue that way while the expenses are lowered. I mean, that's just one option. Instead of just this continuous negative cash flow situation, I don't understand that.
Okay, I'm going to Grace, I'm sure you'd like to respond to this, but I'd like to take our Paul's comment right now if we could.
Sure. Okay. Let's see. I have to scroll back a bit because there's been a bit of back and forth here. Let's see. I have sort of lost my place with people going back and forth. Okay.
We were talking about allocation before this came up.
So something Grace said in here about improving the credit and something you said actually. You mentioned the central services calculation, and I'd like to know what central services calculation. The NFC has for a long time. Done the central services calculations for the budgets. We had heard rumors of NETA doing that. Nobody's ever presented that to the NFC. So I'm wondering if, one, that central services calculation has actually been finalized or almost finalized by NETA, and it would be good if that has happened if the NFC could see it, so we could have some input in that. So there's that part. The other part is, yes, all of this does need to be realistic no matter what, because if we're too unrealistic, which I've seen coming from all sorts of stations, we are going to have very big problems that we won't be able to solve. Right now, we may be able to solve the current problem of getting this loan to not kill us. But if we are not realistic about dealing with the loan and raising money for it, we will run into things that get even worse. I also want to say that WBAI definitely has pension plan payments. They're rather small compared to other stations because we do have a head count of 6.5 or something. So, we have them. They're not the biggest thing we have to worry about. I would hope that we could all look at these things realistically and without any edged weapons coming out during the discussion. So that's what I have to say.
Thanks, Arpal.
I really want to know about that central services calculation.
Yeah, I will address that right now. So the number I've been using, the calculation I've been using is from 2015. Just to let you know, There has been no revision since that time, to the best of my knowledge. So nobody has been, nothing has been happening in the shadows here. As far as NEDA is concerned, I think they're a little bit befuddled by the calculation from 2015. I mean, I've been going back and forth with Tamara all day about this subject, actually. And we're both kind of scratching our heads at how this calculation was arrived at. I mean, certain aspects of it make sense. You know, it's done on a running average of station revenue, blah, 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 blah. But then there's also an allocation for individual stations that doesn't, I just don't quite understand where it came from. And it seems a little bit arcane to go over it right now because, you know, I wouldn't even know how to explain what I'm seeing. Other than, you know, it's disproportionate and I'm just trying to figure out why. There's nothing kind of lurking back there, R. Paul. It's just something that I would say that it's kind of the beginning of that conversation right now would be the easiest way for me to put it. And it's a conversation that I think most of us on this committee look forward to. I did have one question for Grace, and it came up a little bit earlier, and I also kind of alluded to it in my earlier email to Grace this week, or last week, I think, early last week. And that is for future bequests, have most of the emergent needs been taken care of at this point, Grace? In other words, if another bequest were to fall in our lap right now, today, how would that bequest be allocated, in your opinion? I mean, what would your priorities be? Grace?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, okay.
I would, to some extent, be much more tempted to review it with the Strategic Planning Committee and the National Finance Committee. I think the issues that should be looked at are we have a loan and we don't have to pay it all off, and we can probably refinance it probably for a longer term and a lower interest rate. That's an option. Paying it off, well, the thing is, if there is an investment that we can make in ourselves that will generate more revenue than simply the reduced expense of the loan interest payments currently and in the future, we have to decide. For instance, if the hiring of a national program director or investing a modest amount, not a huge amount, but a modest amount in national programming would seriously improve our total revenue or operations, we might want to consider that rather than simply paying down that loan. But that's a discussion for the National Finance Committee. I mean, certainly we'd want to earmark a significant amount to pay down the principal and interest of the loan. That would be my viewpoint at this time. I would like to respond when we get a chance to some of the things that Sharon said.
Okay.
I have some information about that, but you can put me at the end of the stack or whatever.
Okay. We're actually out of time for this section, but I don't think the next section is actually going to take that long. I kind of fumbled the ball in terms of inviting other people to this meeting this week. For some reason, I thought we were inviting business managers, and then our Paul pointed out that it was station managers that we should have been inviting, and so I just got all kind of screwed up and befuddled with that, and we didn't get the invites out in time, and it was just there were some coordination issues too. Fred is in the middle of a fund drive, and anyway, the long and short of it is that, we need to, we discussed bringing station managers into the conversation, and I'd like to do that in the next meeting. it would be nice if we could coalesce around a few different options, but we have little time left today, probably, to go over that. I'm wondering if we might be able to start like an email chain on this and kind of beat out some of these ideas, or whether we should just open the floor up and start the discussion again with all the ideas that were generated this week and take it from there. Does anybody have any comments on this or any ideas? This is in terms of allocation, mind you, and amount, I suppose, as well.
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, what we're really new is obviously have a plan to raise the total amount. And, you know, I'm okay with, you know, getting the GMs involved. I think Grace could talk to them, you know, in the weekly meetings and get them thinking about, you know, how can we raise the money? And, you know, if they're more likely to be able to figure out a good plan anyway that works for their stations. And however the allegations are split up, you know, again, might depend on them. And as James was hinting at, you know, if bequests can be prioritized so that a large portion of the money at least will go towards loan principal, or at least towards the loan, then, you know, that would help. I'm really skeptical about refinancing the loan at a lower interest rate. We've got to get our credit fixed. And, you know, we have to do that. Partly, we probably have to show that we can start paying down the loan principal before the end of this 3 years, as well as getting, you know, our other debt under control and the audits done, of course. So just because we get audits done doesn't mean that we're going to be able to get a good interest rate, because lenders are going to be looking at us and to try to see if they're confident that we can actually pay off the loan over some length of time. So we need to start demonstrating that we can do that. Thanks.
Agree. Anyone else?
Well, this is Nick for the stack again.
Go ahead, Nick.
Here's the challenge I continue to face in these discussions, which is we don't really understand what the terms of the loan are. It's all rumor and innuendo. But if we have a largely real estate secured loan, then most banks, if we could show that we could pay the loan off based on a longer amortization, would take out this short-term variable rate loan. And if indeed the loan is fully collateralized by real estate, then the short-term nature of the loan and the variable rate could be done. If we have, you know, could show the cash flow that we could make principal interest payments over a longer period of time. So we are, again, all having a discussion about things we don't know all the terms of, and so it's very difficult to provide any really educated response to this question.
Understood. The loan is actually, I would almost describe it as over collateralized. I'm sure that would not be a term that the lender would use, but it's a term I would use. That certainly isn't the issue. The collateral is there for that loan. But Grace, we discussed making the loan documents available in the last meeting, I think, or maybe the meeting before. It's all becoming kind of a blur to me now with the weekly meetings. And did we decide that we could do that, or we would do that? And if not, is it possible to at least make the loan documents available to the NFC?
No. Nancy can respond to that as well as me.
Nancy? Okay.
I can maybe give you a better answer, but really, the answer is no. That was the agreement with the lender, I believe. Nancy, do you recall?
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
If we redact the name of the lender, is it possible for the NFC to get a copy of the loan documents?